T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. All three engines up and burning. 2, 1, 0, and lift off.
Coach on Fire Radio.
Fire the tire.
All right, so this is Dave Briglio, and this show is called Making the Play. Welcome to our first episode. I'm very excited about this because sports, coaching, teaching, mentoring have always been really important to me, and what I'm looking forward to doing here is putting on a path where work feels like play. We all say we'd like to do that, but it's tough, and it's worth it in the end. The way I was raised, how I played sports, how I was taught to work at school and on the job. I've had some amazing careers, coaches, obviously family in my life. And my goal here with this show is to find other like-minded people, teachers, coaches, would-be mentors, and help them to amplify their efforts, be another catalyst here, because as much as I love coaching, teaching on the job, things like that, instead of helping dozens of people a year, I want to help thousands. So happy to those of you who are listening that we can help on a direct basis. That's always great. But what we're really looking to do is bring in people who help others, other coaches, teachers, other practitioners. And that's what the show will be about. We'll be bringing in people that range from sport life coaches to teachers at the Division I level, lower levels, again, those work with kids and young adults. And one of the things we'll be doing here is taking a lot of the common phrases and slogans about winning and success that guide us in our attitudes and how we go about things and turn them a little bit on their head. See if at some point maybe they're working against. Before I talk about some big topics, I want to let you know again, the call-in number is 646-716-7979. So call in anytime. That's 646-716-7979. Now, on today's show, we've got Jake Wald from the Positive Coaching Alliance. He's a business development director, and we'll be bringing him in a few minutes after I, again, go through a couple topics that are important to me. Jake's a great guy, and Positive Coaching Alliance, those of you hopefully saw their ad during the Super Bowl. It's the first time they've got that exposure, but it's a wonderful group that really – it's not the soft way to playing sports. It's a better way. It's about make kids better athletes and better people. So one of the things I'd like to do right now is talk a little bit about why we're doing this. And one of the things I like to say is, you know, if you can make work feel like play, everything's going to be great. And one of the ways is to start thinking about in your lives. Think about the coaches, the teachers you've had, and not just the good ones. We're talking about the good ones and the bad ones, okay? The ones that really made you realize there was a better way of doing things. And for me, I always try and think about this. Think about a time when, you know, we'll start with the obvious, with play. You know, when you were playing a game, whether it was sports or maybe you were working on something at the house when you were a kid, a school project, and you just kept working at it. You didn't have to stop. No one told you to keep working at it. You just kept doing and kept doing it. It was fun. It was hard. It could have been tedious. You might have been tired, but you just kept doing it. What was it that made something so difficult, so enticing, so important to you that you just wanted to keep doing it? Nobody was paying you. Nobody was offering you a trophy. You just loved it. Then I also like to think about as we got older, we were in high school and in college, we'd get back together and we'd have an afternoon just playing sports, whatever it was, volleyball, softball, we'd switch up sides and we'd play all day. And we'd score, we'd switch up teams. Some people had some scrapes and some bruises and you just kept playing it. None of us were, the top of our game. We are just having a really good time, but we are working hard at it. And we didn't want to stop. When you lost, You said rematch. That's what you wanted. You want another chance at it. Now think a little bit further ahead to when, you know, it's either in college or at work. And you're working at something again, and you look outside and you realize it's dark out. Nobody was mad at you that day. It was something that really was interesting to you. It was important, and you kept working for the sake of that work. Not to be at work, but what you were working on had nothing to do with the deadline. Well, I remember all those things, and I still experience enough of them on a regular basis to remind that those are the standards, really, that you want to try and hold your life up to. Every day can't be the perfect rewarding day, but we really don't want to say, well, it went to work and they call it work for a reason, or first to be the things like that. Those aren't the things we want to do. We want to get to the point where we realize the bad days pass and we've got choices on what it is we want to do, where we want to put that effort into. So with that said, I do want to now introduce our host, Jake Wald. Jake, are you there?
Hey, Dave. Thanks so much for having me.
Great. A little background on Positive Coaching Alliance. This was a group that I was exposed to as when I was coaching one of my kids, first time coaching, scared to death about how to coach eight-year-olds. Believe it or not, mostly because I didn't want to take winning too seriously. But at the same time, you didn't want to not give the kids a good experience. And I was so fortunate that the group I was with put us through PCA training. And as soon as I saw it, Jake, I had already heard it before. This is how I was raised. These are the coaches I had. And so without taking away, you know, your talking points, why don't you tell everybody really what is PCA?
Yeah, sure. First, let me say thank you for being your first ever guest. What an honor. I'm looking forward to coming back, what, in like 25 years for your retirement party and, you know, when you're the top blog radio personality on the air. That'll be a fun time.
Absolutely.
But anyway, thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, we'll get you a CD of this.
So Positive Coaching Alliance. So at PCA, we believe that there is just no better place to teach life lessons, to teach ethics, to teach character than youth sports. There's a huge opportunity to do that, particularly in youth and high school sports, because any given year, there's going to be 40-plus million kids playing. So this is a huge national institution that our country participates in enthusiastically. The problem is that this institution is not necessarily living up to its potential. We know that for a few reasons. There's been a lot of studies on youth and high school sports, and they come back to tell us that about 70% of kids drop out of youth sports by the age of 13. So we're seeing huge participation rates, but also massive attrition. The anecdotal story behind people why kids are leaving is it's not fun anymore for them. So, you know, they say, so a kid says, hey, Dad, I want to play T-ball. Sign you up. Baseball is a tough skill sport. The coach doesn't know much about coaching. Maybe he yells and screams a little too much, or you sit the bench and don't have a good time, and you never come back. Kids aren't often willing to give it a second chance. And they're leaving sports, and we're losing all the wonderful benefits that kids get from staying in sports, which, again, a whole host of research shows us that kids have better outcomes the longer they stay in sports. So PCA really exists to help make this space, this youth sports and high school sports space, better. It's research-based. It's training coaches. It's training athletes. It's training parents involved in youth sports to help create a positive culture, really move away from the current culture of win at all costs, and move towards what PCA describes as a development zone culture, which really focuses on developing kids. And as you mentioned at the top of the show, our motto is better athletes, better people. So we're very focused on the better athletes part and winning and making games meaningful through striving to win together. That's a very important piece of what we do. But more importantly, making sure that the adults involved in youth sports understand that this space is about making better people, better citizens. And what can we learn from that? And what other areas can we learn from? Can we learn from child psychology and sports psychology and other youth development professionals and pair that with great coaches that know a ton about the sport? And how do we marry these things so that youth sports can really live up to its potential of being the best place to develop character in kids?
Yeah, and that, so for people that are listening right now, the first part would be, well, that sounds really great. But, you know, sports is a, it's a, you know, that's where you're learning the hard knocks of life. That's part of what you want on sports. You want to compete. You know, what is it? And that's a common one. You're like, that just sounds kind of, you know, rainbows. What do you,
how do you
respond to that? Yeah. How do you guys respond to that?
Sure. Well, you know, my personal background, I was a professional baseball player for about 10 years, played Division I at George Washington University, and then played 8 years in the San Francisco Giants organization and a year in the Diamondbacks organization before retiring and going on to coach back at GW and Georgetown for a couple years. So I've been in the real competitive situations, and PCA is full of folks like me, former athletes that love to win, that are terribly competitive. When I was a kid, I was awful, right? Like I would flip the checkers board before I, you know, would lose, right? I wouldn't even let it get that far. If I knew I was losing, I was out of there.
Really?
You know, I was just one of those hyper-competitive kids. That's the way I grew up, and you know, you mellow out as you get older, but it certainly helped me in my dream of becoming a professional athlete. That was great. That was a great attribute, and I'm sure my parents had a lot of lessons to teach me how to, you know, go ahead and compete until you lose, and that's fine, and go back and compete again. But that is certainly, as you mentioned, one of the first things we address when we speak to coaches or speak to athletes or speak to parents, that sports is about trying to win. That's what we want to do, and that's okay. And in fact, it's really tough to teach the life lessons that we want to if we aren't striving to win. I mean, if we're just throwing the Frisbee in the backyard and you drop it, who really cares, right? But, you know, if you miss a foul shot to lose a game or – you know, strike out to lose the game, that means something. You're going to feel bad, and therefore there's opportunity for growth, right? The coaches and adults can come in and show the kids the right way to deal with defeat or learn how to win properly, how to get better, right? What are the next steps? So great, you failed here. What do we do to get better? These are the growth opportunities. So without striving to win, we can't really get at these life lessons. So it's extraordinarily important to what we do at Positive Coaching Alliance.
Yeah, and I would have to say that, and I've been to a lot of the training, and I'm a trainer for them now, you know, staying in contact with you. But that was the hardest part for me personally, was knowing definitely that I wanted sports for young kids to be fun.
Right.
That balance, because you can't really do a Jekyll and Hyde thing. You really have to keep both things going in the background, because if you try and keep it nothing but fun, but not competitive, at some point, it is sports. You know, you've got to pay attention. It becomes a circus and you lose it. And then likewise,
right,
when you see, you know, there's an opportunity your team is can do something better, you get excited about, you know, getting to a higher level, and then you forget that they're, you know, 11, you know, something like that.
Right,
12
right. And maybe I should clarify that, you know, the word fun can be taken out of context, right? Like you can have a lot of fun going through drills. That doesn't have to be boring. Fun doesn't mean we're going to play tag during soccer practice, right? That's not what fun means per se. Fun means having an environment where kids are enjoying themselves. And like you said in the beginning, you know, you're talking about when you do something, not for the trophy, just for the love of it, creating that environment for the kids that they love being out there. They love working on this thing because you've coached them in a way that makes them want to do that, right? That you found that ignition, that spark in them, and they're willing to go out there and work really hard. And there's lots of, this is all kind of philosophical kind of at the top, but the great thing about Positive Coaching Alliance is that we're able to really drill down and provide a lot of, as you know, as a trainer that you've done yourself, like provide a lot of really basic information about how to do this, you know, so that you go to a PCA workshop and you interact with other coaches and with our trainer for a couple hours, and you're able to implement these things the next day. You're not just going, oh, that's a cool philosophy. I'd love to do that one day. It's no, tomorrow I'm going to go to practice and I'm going to really work on, you know, creating a great environment through a 5 positive to 1 negative ratio in my communications with kids. Maybe that shouldn't have brought that one out. That's a really tough one. But there's a lot of things like that we're teaching coaches and parents that they can use the next day when they get into practice. So
Well, let's on that point right there. You mentioned a 5-1. Can you go into what you guess, because it sounds easy to say, and then if you start doing it, it almost feels impossible.
Right. Right. So this particular tool, again, we at PCA doesn't make any of this stuff up. We're just pulling the best of what's out there about how to work with kids and getting that to the mostly volunteer folks that are working with kids, you know, the moms and dads running home from work and getting to practice. We're, you know, trying to get them the best info so they can provide a great experience for the kids. So one of the principles that for our PCA coaches, which we call a double goal coach, so maybe describing that could be a good first step. So we challenge our coaches to have two goals. First goal is striving to win on the field, like we talked about. That's really, really want to try to accomplish that. But the second more important goal is teaching life lessons through the game. So that's kind of the overarching philosophy, the double goal coach. One of the main principles of being a double goal coach, we call it filling the emotional tank. So if you imagine that everybody, man, woman, child, has an emotional tank, and when it's full, you know what that feels like. You're ready to go. You're revving. You'll run through a wall. You know, you're really excited. When it's empty, you know what that feels like too. You know, you don't want to do anything. You don't care. You're not particularly excited to be at practice, right? So it's really important that we make sure kids have a full emotional tank before we start criticizing them, which, Dave, as you know, is coaching, right? You have to criticize the coach, I'm sure.
Right.
You could speak to that, right? Like that's a basic part of what coaching is I see this wrong with your technique, and I'm going to critique that and help you make you better. But we have to make sure kids' emotional tanks are full before we can even do that, because otherwise they won't listen. They don't care. And so this 5-1 ratio of positive comments to criticisms becomes very important, because it allows us to fill the emotional tank but still criticize when necessary. And this particular 5-1 ratio is not made up. It comes from originally from a study on marriages. That they found that marriages with a 5-1 ratio were the most successful. Any less was a predictor of divorce. Any more didn't do any better either. I think everybody kind of has a BS radar. And in fact, saying way to go is maybe one of the worst positive comments, quote unquote, that you can make, because it's not specific, right? Like, way to go for what? that's not what PCA is about. It's not about the blanket positive. It's about these specific things that really get kids to believe that you care about them and care that they do better. So that's kind of the basic premise of the 5-1. And Dave, you go for it too as a trainer. What did I leave out there?
Well, the thing you just mentioned is, you know, you can't say way to go. And that's just that if it's not something from the heart, and it doesn't have to be fancy or high praise, the kids know it by now, because they've been, you know, by the age of 10, they've heard and seen everyone say, good game, good game, good game, good game, not mean it.
Right.
And they're starting to look for the real, you know, the meaningful, hey, good try, even. They'll take good try versus great game, and you're like, did you know I didn't get in? And I mean, I can think back to those days where, you know, when sports are competitive and I was, you know, the seventh guy on the basketball team, and you might not have gotten in all the time, and somebody said, hey, way to go out there. I'm like, well, thanks for watching. I really appreciate that, because I didn't get in today. I was okay with that. But then, you know, someone trying to lift you up. So I think the sincerity, and that goes to, you know, teachers in the workplace, everything. And that's what I find so interesting about PCA, and that's, you know, mentioned that, you know, PCA didn't invent this stuff. They gather it, they're delivering it, they're using it. That's the same thing that we're doing here with this show, is bringing people and say, look, this is for, you're talking about sports, but that 5-1 came from marriage counseling.
Right.
And if you start thinking about, like, today in the workplace, you know, the people you work with, you're probably doing the same thing. You know, you open up with, hey, how are things going? Which is positive. You give them a smile. That's positive. And this is the interesting part in that 5-1. I kept thinking, these kids are going to smell the BS after, you know, the third verbal thing. And it's not that. It's, you know, a smile. It's eye contact. That's two. Like you say, it's calling them by their name, not you. You know, whatever it is, that it's a lot more complex than it sounds. And I think, like you say, that's the trick, is to get engaged in it, you know, whether it's through sports or, you know, life coaching or anything else like that. That's what's so hard, is how you actually do deliver it that's sincere from you, and it's detectable sincere from the person.
Exactly. And you nailed it in that. Really, this is why PCA exists, because I could just say, hey, 5-to-1 ratio and give you that concept, but it's actually a little more difficult than that. And what PCA does in our workshops and our books and online resources that we have, we're teaching people how to use this, right? So 5-to-1 ratio doesn't mean I need to spit out 5 positive things before I can correct a kid's swing. It's the ratio over the course of the day. So thanking them for being on time for practice or being early for practice, giving kids a fun nickname that's a way of positively identifying them, that they know you care about them. Things like this are ways you get to the 5-to-1. And coaches don't spend enough time thinking about these types of things, even if they wouldn't be considered a negative coach, right? They're just kind of neutral, maybe, or they're out there to have a good time. They're not overly competitive. But again, they maybe don't have some of these great youth development techniques that are out there. And that's PCA's job, is to find these best youth development techniques and figure out how they work in sports and deliver them to the people that are working with kids.
Yeah, and it really is, when you try how to – because kids that are just tough to crack, they can be quiet. They may not be troublemakers. You know, they're reserved, you know, and you're trying to get them to do just something new, something different. And they're smart, and they're almost daring you to say something else. Figure out what do you want them to do that compliment, almost driving them toward that first thing they did, like, wow, that's big change in you. And that doesn't get a whole lot of appreciation, because we're so used to, well, they didn't get the ball, they didn't do anything. Like, well, for this kid to be engaged all the time, and at your first step, and before you know it, like you say, all of a sudden, I mean, that's what this is. We only have the time, but like you say, we're trying to make them better people, and we're not going to see those results. We'll see other kids, the results of other coaches, but we're not likely to see those kids we coach, you know, when they're 18 and 28 years old.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's the website address for those of us people listening who are interested in Positive Coaching Alliance?
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty easy. It's www.positivecoach.org is the main website. And then we also have a great resource center, which we call our PCA development zone, dev zone. And you can access that through the main website as well. It's basically, we like to think of it as the WebMD of youth sports. So if you have a question that you want answered, go ahead and pop it in there. We probably will have an article, a podcast, something from one of our great supporters, whether they be trainers or whether they be fantastic coaches, like a Steve Kerr, who's a big supporter of PCA, the Warriors coach, or a Phil Jackson, who's our national spokesperson, or for us people here in DC, Dusty Baker, one of my favorite managers of all time, the Nationals manager. They've all contributed content. They're huge PCA supporters, and they've all contributed content to PCA. So you may find something from them about the way they do things. And they're all fantastic managers and coaches that do things really well and often make mistakes like all of us, and learn from those and hoping to pass that along. So definitely check out positivecoach.org, and you'll find a lot of great content on there.
Again, the call 716-79. And you talk about Phil Jackson. That actually was also – you can find these on YouTube for anybody just interested in these things. But he's got some really amazing discussions, because I use him, not he had brought championships to Chicago, which is my hometown, many of them. And we didn't have a long time going into the 90s. But it's not just that he had, you know, he three-peated the three-peat. That's a pretty big deal in itself in the modern day. But if you look at the personalities he had, forget about dealing with kids. He had what could have been, I mean, true adult prima donna, those egos, those teams. He isn't just a post-career spokesperson. And you can talk a little bit about that, because it's not just that you got him afterwards. That's a great thing. I want to put a stamp on it. He was actually using it today when he had those rings.
Yeah, yeah. Part of my job is to develop new chapters for PCA around the country. And I developed a chapter in New York City just last year, which was really fun to do, and got Phil and the Knicks involved, of course. And so Phil came to our launch meeting of the chapter and spent about an hour with us and the local board members that run the chapter, which was fantastic. And Jim Thompson, our founder, was there, who founded PCA about 18 years ago. And Phil started talking about how he founded PCA along with Jim, which was really awesome because he does feel that ownership. Phil was really our first big supporter, even before PCA began. Phil and Jim knew each other a bit. When PCA was launched, Phil agreed to be our national spokesperson and has been. So this was the time when he was back in 98 when we were founded. He was still with the Bulls and has a great story about using that 5-to-1 concept, actually, that we were talking about earlier with Horace Grant. So at the time, I'll do my best to give Phil's story justice here. At the time, Phil had asked Horace, who came from a military family background, to kind of be, for lack of a better term, maybe like the whipping boy of the team. Like if the team was not doing so well, they were going to get on Horace to kind of try to inspire everyone. And they'd asked Horace ahead of time, hey, are you okay with this role? And Horace was like, yep, I can handle that. And basically the long story short is that Horace did not perform so well in this role. Like he was just getting battered all the time by the coaches, even though he had agreed to it. And Phil, thinking of the 5-to-1 ratio, after a while, decided to stop doing that. And Horace's performance really increased. So this was like a very specific example of somebody purposefully kind of taking a lot of heat from the coaches. And then they just reversed that course and started filling his emotional tank. And he was better. His performance was better, which a lot of these things, there's a lot of great sports psych stuff out there that we use that are going to get better performance from these athletes. And also just are great ways to interact with people. Like you said, in the workplace or wherever.
You know, say what, you know, why is a coach, because he likes, cares about him. He wants, you know, this is a grown man, college athlete in his early 20s, this is a grown man who even, again, I think one of the parts I still remember is that Horace wanted to be, didn't, because obviously he was in pro sports, so he really wanted the advice, like, man, he thought that would, you know, make up for not going through and being like that mentally for a big goal. Didn't take it. So now we think of talking whether they're, you know, 22, 16, or 12. We found these kids. Let's, you got to be smart and love them. Someone can't handle. He was handling it, but, you know, he probably wasn't mad at Phil, but they weren't getting the results. So when I like to think of, what do you think the average going to play in college is going through? We really just like a Hollywood version of that triumph of the human spirit where somebody gets just abused, and it's, you know, because there's love behind all that rough talk, and it works out. That's because it was in the script. That's why it worked out.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a couple things here. I mean, you've gone over a couple of the tenets here. You talked about the 5-to-1 ratio and winning is first, the double goal and things like that. What are some other of the main tenets? You know, I guess just for people here who might be getting in the middle. And again, I've got Jake Wald here with the Positive Coaching Alliance. And again, what we're talking about here, their goal is better athletes, better people, and they do it through striving, having coaches strive to win, but not at all costs. So are there, for anybody tuning in right now, if you were going to say these are the 3, 4, 5 things that if you could grasp these, the world is a better place, what, how could you boil down PCA for people?
Sure, and maybe make sense really in the context of our conversation, which is a lot about coaching, to kind of give the tenets of our double goal coach model, you know, winning, coaching for winning on the field and more importantly for life lessons through the game. So when we work with coaches in workshops and in books and when they go to our website and get the content online, we really focus on three main things. So the first thing is we kind of talk about redefining winning. What does it mean to win? We talk a lot about this through the Elm Tree of Mastery, as we call it, ELM, which stands for effort, learning, and mistakes are okay. So when you want, one of the tenets of being a double goal coach is redefining winning and coaching for mastery. And when you tell a little league coach that he or she needs to coach for mastery, you can kind of get a, how do I do that? And again, you know, PCA tries to break it down for people so it's really easy. So if we can focus, have the coaches focus on effort, making sure they reward effort. Again, like we said earlier, the way to go comment is probably the worst positive comment you can deliver. But in a, let's say in a baseball context, if I say way to hustle down to first base, that is reinforcing that effort. It's specific. That's a great positive comment. We also want to talk about learning and make sure the kids are getting better every day. That's a big piece about coaching for mastery. And then finally, one of the biggest pieces, in my opinion, is that mistakes are okay. Mistakes are part of every game we play, especially in youth and high school sports. And we cannot make that the enemy of getting better. So if kids are afraid to make mistakes, they're going to perform really poorly. Where if they understand that mistakes are part of it, and it's not about the mistake, but about how you bounce back from that mistake, they're going to be more free, they're going to have more fun, and research shows us that their performance is going to be better. This is kind of sports psychology 101, and so that's a big piece of what we do. So the Elm Tree of Mastery is our first principle. We also talk about filling emotional tanks, which we covered, making sure that people know you care about them. And there's a bunch of techniques. I won't go into that again. And then finally, we talk about the roots of honoring the game. So honoring the game is a big phrase for PCA. It's about sportsmanship, but sportsmanship generally tends to be about the don't do's, and not about what you do on the field. Like don't yell, don't scream, don't fight. Those are kind of the sportsmanship things. So PCA wanted to put out kind of a way to be for athletes and coaches and parents that are engaged in youth sports. We call it the Roots of Honoring the Game, and Roots is an acronym. So we talk about respect for the rules, opponents, officials, teammates, and self. And if you can do that, then you're honoring the game and you're participating in an honorable manner, according to Positive Coaching Alliance, and I agree.
Yeah, and that's the Roots is a tough one to walk that walk for all of it, because every to say that's right, you know, you got to respect the officials unless you know they blow a call at some important point, and the opponents. But you'll hear some awful about what you ought to be doing to those other guys over there.
Mm-hmm.
And the self, that's the interesting part too. Is it, you know, me, that comes if you've got all those letters covered. Not about being cocky and, you know, not the version of respect. You know, you got to respect me, bow to me, you know, and my skill set really is, wait a second, that's for you to be showing your to the world out there, you know, whether it's taking a cheap shot or, you know, giving the ref even just, you know, shoulder shrug and things like that show them up. That's one of the things I think, walk as my kids are now, I've got a freshman in college, I've got a sophomore in high school and a couple in middle school, 4 girls, and they're all very competitive, lots of sports. So I see all levels all the time of sports going on, from basic rec to competitive club. And I will have to say, because of PCA, and this is what I tell when I do the training, which is forget about the coaching, how much you'll enjoy. I said, I love watching these really competitive, intense club and games for my kids.
Yeah.
Because I really, really don't. You'll hear me. Motors. I am human, but it'll never get out to the field. After I say it, you'll say, yeah, it doesn't matter. That's the what I think is so important about this. I mean, there is a program for the parents as well as the coaching, the second parenting component to the training session that you guys have.
Sorry, Dave, would you mind repeating that? You're just coming in and out a little bit on my phone, so I apologize for the technical difficulty, but I just missed that last piece.
Okay. What helped me as a spectator to very much. Am I coming through okay?
No, it's still very spotty. I'm really sorry. Maybe what I'll do is I'll just try calling right back in quickly on my end and see if that helps. So sorry to do that to you, but I'll be right back with you. Hold on.
Okay. So while Jake's calling in, I'm going to give out the number again here for calling. If you got any questions for me or for Jake, it's 646-716-7979. And what we're talking about here is the Positive Coaching Alliance. Their goal here is to make better athletes, better people. And Jake's been talking about the various tenets. And the one that I was getting into here was going to be about what this really does for parents. So let's give Jake a minute to call in. And their web address, again, is www.positivecoaching.org. And Jake, are you back?
I am back. Sorry about that.
No problem. Everything good?
Sounds good to me.
Okay, good. Yeah, so first show, first technical difficulty, put them both in the books.
Got to bounce back from the mistakes, right?
absolutely, and I don't feel bad at all. What I was talking about was the training that I've had for being a coach and then even instructing others, you know, on how to do it as a coach has helped me as a parent to really enjoy the more contentious high school club level and varsity level sports. Hmm. But PC also has a second goal parenting curriculum, if you will, or book.
Yes.
And things like that. That's aimed, forget about players and the coaches. This is for us parents who are basket cases on the sidelines while our kids are laughing, don't even know what the score is. This is to keep us sane. Maybe you could get into that a little bit.
Yeah, sure. And as you mentioned, we label this model the second goal parent, plays off that double goal coach model. So if you remember the double goal coach, it's about winning, but more importantly, teaching life lessons through the game. So parents, your job is not winning. We have the athlete and the coaches focused on that. Instead, your job is to relentlessly focus on the life lessons piece. And there is so much to get from youth sports, and it's not the easiest job in the world to try to frame things in a way where your kids are going to learn the lessons and that you want them to learn, that there's a lot to do there. And we have a lot to talk to you about. It's not about how to parent your kid. We're not telling you which life lessons are important, which ones aren't, but we are telling you how to help your child get the best experience from youth sports. A lot of parents come to us and they want to know about, hey, how do I, you know, create the next pro athlete and get college scholarships? I'm investing all this money in private lessons and I want to get return on investment. And we actually have some stuff for you too. It's all the same. When it comes to giving kids a great experience and also developing talent, it really comes down to love of the game. Again, this is really well researched for those parents interested in books. Dan Coyle has a great one called Talent Code. And really, it's about the kids who love the game. Those are the kids that do well. It's not necessarily about getting to the best coach. Usually, great talent finds great coaching. And in fact, you know, kind of before, obviously sport dependent, but in most sports, before 15, it doesn't really matter. Dan talks about, in this book, Dan Coyle talks about a great study that looked at really talented people. So virtuoso musicians, Olympic athletes, gold medal winners. And they interviewed them and had them talk about their youth coaches, so like 12, 13 and under. And the main theme that came out of it was they were great with kids, bottom line. They didn't necessarily teach them anything skill-wise that anybody else could have taught them. But it was, they were great with kids, and they helped them love the game and want to do more. So really, as youth coaches, that's pretty much the best we can do. If we can, and parents, and more importantly, if we can help breed a love of the game, that's your best shot to a college athletic scholarship. And we have a fantastic Positive Coaching Alliance trainer in our area named Leslie Brady. And Leslie, besides being, I think, the winningest field hockey coach in Maryland school history, high school history, has also raised two Division I athletes. And she always gives the tip about how to get college scholarships for your kids. And she said, have them spend extra hours in the library, because there's way more academic money out there than there is athletic money. So if you're just a betting person, you should go with that one. The athletic money is few and far between. So if you're focusing on that, that's the wrong bet.
Yeah, and we could have a whole show. High line is a great thing, but what you're getting is the opportunity to get into a good school. There is no, not really. You end up paying more because you're probably going to go out of state and things like that. It's really the opportunity, the experience of being, setting up goal, you know, of having an activity like that running while they're trying to be a good student. And I think that, you know, we're starting to come around that. Not quick enough, but I think that's a really BCA. Again, anybody that's out there that coach people, again, just it's like Jake did his research. That's the beauty of it. There's a lot of coaches talking about how it does work, put it into play, the vehicle case for making better. But it's all these things. That's what I think is. How about some numbers now here, Jay? Because again, I know some of them, but I think this is important for people to realize. Are you all dealing with each year, getting them learning how to do this, you know, these methods, really teaching them one-on-one?
Yeah. So PCA has a great reach. I don't know if I mentioned it before, but we are a national nonprofit organization. This is a public service endeavor. This is not a money-making scheme for those that care about that. So our annual youth athletes reached is 3.2 million. We do that's nationwide in any given in last year's numbers actually. We did over 2,500 live in-person workshops for youth leaders, coaches, parents, and athletes last year, and we partnered directly with over 35,000 last year alone schools and youth sports organizations to help them create that positive culture. And when you talk about training parents and training coaches and getting everybody on the same page, that's really the recipe for success is having the school, having the Little League, having the soccer club be a partner with PCA and bringing us in so that we can help get everybody on the same page. Speaking a common language, working towards the same goal, that's when we can create a great environment for kids to participate and get the most out of youth sports. And it's better for everybody. It's better for the coaches. It's better for the parents as well. And the leaders of these organizations really love it when people are coming together for that common goal of giving a great experience to kids and trying to get the most of youth sports for that. So we're continuing to develop new chapters around the country and create new partnerships. I would encourage your listeners, if they're involved in youth sports, to reach out to their youth sports organization and see if they're partnered with PCA. And if not, see if you can't get in touch, have them get in touch with us and start using some of our material. We've got a lot of great information on our website, positivecoach.org, ways to get in touch with PCA to partner. So that's my plug for becoming, having your high school or youth sports organization become a partner of Positive Coaching Alliance.
Yeah. I see it. Kids, the local public high school, the principal, and one of the teachers that I know definitely is, he's not a coach, but I know that he coaches kids, because I know my older daughter was going through a tough AP physics course. He coached her, but as I was talking, I wonder how many of, you know, your best coaches on the ball field also are some of your more effective people in the classroom and vice versa. And they said, interesting. I said, we can't always have, you know, all of our coaches aren't always teachers. That wasn't, that's not really my point. I said, but there's something about, you know, people that while they're teaching, they're coaching. When they're coaching, they're teaching. And they just add off, you know, four teachers. And I said, well, I'll tell you right now, I don't know that many teachers in the high school, but those are the only four names my kids have ever brought up in the household. I said, oh, really? And I said, and those are not all the coaches of all their sports. I said, but I said, that's just something I think is really important when you mentioned going into the schools. Again, it doesn't really matter what the initial intent was, whether it's bad teaching or teacher management that turns into kids just becoming better people. Getting in there through, this is just a much better way to operate. Like, parents really need to also back off their kids' projects. You know, we see parents being the busybodies, telling, you know, coaching them up on the sidelines between games. And we also know that there are the parents that do the kids' science fair or, you know, pick their topic, you know, because the parents want it to be. So I think it's that same thing of really just encourage them. Is there, what would you, can you boil it down to one thing? And I'm kind of set a little bit because I know one thing I heard from one of my girls' coaches was perfect, but is one thing you would tell parents, do just this, and it'll be well on the way to that second goal parent?
Well, I feel like you got the answer. I want you to go with it. What do you got?
All right. And it was, she read it. It's a great coach. She's basically tell them every game, I love watching you play. Doesn't matter what the score was. Even if they scored a ton, got a bunt hit, it may have been a great time. It was just like, hey, I really love watching you play. But
that's great.
It. And to be honest, whenever I do that now, because my kids range from, you know, scoring a bunch to scoring nothing. Like the same kid. You know, it's whatever. Every time I really do just love watching them on the field, even when they score every time. Even in, maybe they're having a bad day, but you see that one time where they could have given up and they thought, nah, I really do love watching that, because, you know, they score five goals. No, but like you say, nobody's showing up with a Brinks truck full of, you know, tuition money. It's just not going to happen. Not why you do it. And when they stink it up for whatever, one quarter, one half, nothing happened either. You know, it's really just seeing them out there. But it just doesn't matter the way we think. Hey, I got five questions I'm going to ask you, if you're ready for these.
Let's do it.
All right. So what attracted you to work for PCA and not something else? You know, you had a good degree. Surely you met enough people. You could have done other things. Why did you go to PCA?
I found PCA based on the content. So that was my first exposure. I read one of Jim's books while I was coaching at GW here in D.C. and really fell in love with the content. And then I started to meet the people and really just got so excited about the mission of the organization and transforming the culture of youth sports and using it to develop better athletes, better people. And I was coaching at the time. And Dave, same as you said at the top, this was an opportunity for me personally to have a much greater reach in this world. My first job as a professional athlete that I did for about a decade was very self-focused, kind of has to be. I spent my whole career in the minor league, so I didn't unfortunately have a lot of the money to give away that many of these great philanthropic athletes do great things. But working for PCA has been just a really wonderful experience for me. Giving back and working in an area that I know really well, that I grew up in. And I saw before working at PCA that this was an organization that if I were to start something like this, it would be exactly like it. And PCA was already way better, right? Like this was already more developed than I could ever imagine, was basing in all the wonderful things that I believed in and even more. And so that's why I ended up working for PCA, as opposed to kind of staying in the coaching ranks, was just, I felt like this was the right place for me and that my personal reach could go much farther than, you know, the 25 or 30 kids I had every year. I could really impact so millions and millions of kids that participate in youth sports and high school sports every year.
Yeah, and it is interesting when you find that organization, like, darn, they thought of it before I did, you know. But at the same time, you go, oh, the good news is all I got to do is not think about me, the fact that this is already set up, and now I can just run with it and do what I want to do without all that wondering. And for everybody that's out there, you know, doing these things, again, whether it's you're coaching, you know, adults in, you know, in life, kids on the field, or you're mentoring in the classroom, that's the whole idea, is you take what's out there and you can give it your own twist and your own spin, and truly make it your own. Now, Jake, what you pick, you know, people talk about the coaches they remember, and, you know, there's the one that you'll never forget because of how they made you feel, you know, in a good way. And then we talk about the supermarket episode, which is, you know, a kid is an adult, you know, you're walking through the supermarket and you see one of your coaches from high school and you turn around because you don't want to see him. It was that bad. So I'll let you pick one of the two. You can leave the names out. But I just, you know, something that people see, you know, really how long-lasting coaching impacts are.
Yeah, no, I'd like to pick the positive. I did have plenty of that supermarket coach where I'd love to turn my head and you know, walk away. But the one coach that stands out, I had a bunch. I feel kind of bad picking one out, but so many people, I mean, whatever success I had in sports, so much of it was due to fantastic coaches I had, especially youth coaches. But I'm going to highlight a particular coach I had as a professional because he was really important to me. His name was Vic Torres. Vic was my hitting coach in AA when I was in Norwich, and this was my second year third year in AA. Tells you how long I got stuck in AA. So my first year was kind of up and down, where I was going A-ball to AA and wasn't a full-time starter. Second year in AA, I was a full-time starter and just had a god-awful year. I hit about 200 and, you know, just was kind of miserable, and, you know, was pretty sure I was going to get released and never play again. And for whatever reason, the Giants kept me and sent me back to AA, and I was a backup this time and played really well that year. And by the end of the year, I was starting again. And a lot of it had to do with my offensive performance improved a ton, which you would think, hey, same situation, why would it be any better? And really, no knock against any other hitting coaches I had, but Vic Torres was the reason. And Vic, had nothing to do with, he didn't give me any technical insights. The thing that Vic did was told me how good he thought I was. And, you know, he'd stand behind the cage when I was hitting and he'd be like, oh, I'd hit a line drive, like, oh my God, that's great. He'd be like, no, you know, you wouldn't believe how few guys can hit a ball to right center field that hard. You know, just stuff like that. And it wasn't BS. I mean, he was really positive, but everything he said he meant, and he was consistently positive. And anybody who's been engaged in professional baseball knows that it's a long season and it takes a special person to be positive for the entire 6 or 7 months of in a day in, day out play. And to me, looking back on it, I didn't know it at the time. It took me working for PCA and then reflecting on my experiences to realize how important Vic was to me as an athlete, as a player that year, and as a person. And unfortunately, Vic passed a couple years ago, and I didn't get the chance to reconnect with him and tell him how much he meant to me. So I try to highlight him as one of my favorite coaches of all time, because he really was and underappreciated. And, you know, I want to do justice what he did for me by recalling him to as many people as I can, as much as I can.
That's excellent. What about, out, you know, the ball field, what did sports do for you as a student? And if you can, I mean, you don't have to hit each stage of life, but, you know,
yeah,
just starting from Little League on up, what did it do for you? The coach got in terms of, you know, how it prepared you or maybe interfered, you know, on some days with, you know, turn you into a full person, you know, going through school.
Yeah. A lot of credit to my parents, for teaching me how to handle multiple things and handling the amount of commitments I had. That was a conversation we had every year about what sports did I want to play. And I played many, up till about 14, I played three or four different sports a year. And, you know, that was the conversation was, hey, do you want to do this year? Okay, you do. And then guess what? I was committed. And even if I didn't want to go to practice that day, they said, well, you made that commitment and next year you don't have to, but, and school was a part of that, making sure that I was on top of things. And, you know, that was part of it too, that, and if I didn't get those things done, I wasn't allowed to play. That was my first commitment. And so, that was a big piece for me, early on, just learning how to juggle multiple things. you learn, you know, going to practice every day and making sure you get your homework done. That's a big deal. And learning how to handle that. And then moving into college, going to a pretty decent academic institution at George Washington and also a pretty decent kind of mid-major Division I schedule, where you're, you know, it's a job. You know, that was tough. That was pretty interesting. I went through some hard times. Baseball was definitely my focus. And I had to learn how to kind of compromise, I think, with some things. I scale back on maybe some social things I wanted to do in order to make sure that I did have academic money as well. That was paying for school along with my athletic money. So I had a specific requirement if I wanted to stay in school that I had to have a certain GPA. And I learned pretty quickly that, you know, you can't have everything you want, but thankfully I was raised in a way that staying in school and finishing was really important. And so that I made sure that was a priority. I don't know if I answered your question very well, but that's what I got for you.
Yeah. I mean, that's the whole point here. And this is, we're getting to the end of the show here now. I've got one thing I wanted to ask you just when you mentioned about, you got to make these choices, and we'll give you the 30-second response, which is, did it feel like a sacrifice when you know, people say, oh, you got to make sacrifices, or was it just, I'm good with these choices?
Definitely. I definitely felt the sacrifice, I, for lack of a better term, I kind of was a baseball nerd, right? That's what I did. I missed out on a lot of stuff with friends. And in college, I missed out on some experiences that people get, like traveling and studying abroad, and joining other clubs and being a bigger part of like the university. And that just I wasn't able to handle all of those things, play baseball and make sure that my grades were up. So I had to sacrifice some of those things, but it was a choice I was good with. It was a choice I made. I made the choice to strive to be a professional athlete, coming into college. And that was my goal. And I knew, hey, if I want to do that, I got to kind of sacrifice these other things. And I saw my friends go off and do other stuff and they had great times, and I'm sure they don't regret that either. And I don't regret my choices either. So it's just kind of that kind of thing, I guess. So maybe not sacrifice is the wrong term, but I definitely noticed that I didn't get some of those experiences that others got, for sure.
Yeah, and let's end it there, because again, that's one of the things we want to note here is that life is hard, but it doesn't have to, you know, feel like a grind. It really can be. These are the choices I made. That actually was the most important stuff. You can't do everything. I did what I wanted. So, Jake, again, thanks for coming on the show. This was a great way to kick it off. And we look forward to hearing more about Positive Coaching Alliance in the future. Thanks
again,
Jake.
My pleasure. Congrats on the first show. Looking forward to continuing to listen and keep following what you're doing. You're doing great work.
Great. Thanks, buddy. We'll see you next episode.
I can do anything. I can reach any goal today. I can do what I want. I can be what I want to be.
Coach